Good morning, everybody. My name is James Lawson. I'm a sales and marketing manager from Centrica Storage, and it's very good to be invited here today. So thank you, Ofgem, for the invite, and thank you, Grid, straight away for the actually going through this summer outlet process. I think it's a valuable addition to the gas year in terms of having a look at what's going on not only on a winter side of things but on a summer side of things. It's timely as well for a storage operator to be standing in front of you as well, because tomorrow is the start of the storage year. Not sure why it's the 1st of May, it's always been that way, but it's a timely for me to be here nonetheless. I think one of the main conclusions I'd hope you take away from this presentation is it's not a question of if storage will be full, it's when storage will be full. And when we talk about storage, we've got various different storage options available to us within GB gas market. So for some of those storage facilities, it's not a question of when they get full, but how many times they'll get full and how they're going to be used. So during the presentation, we'll have a look at the actual usage of some of those different storage facilities. Andrew mentioned security of supply and the role of storage within that. We at Centrica believe that embedding storage close to where demand is located seriously enhances security of supply. So towards the end of my presentation, I'll return to what Centrica are doing, namely the introduction of the proposition of another offshore storage facility called Baines, in conjunction with our partners Gaz de France and First Oil. The screen you see behind you, obviously I am sales and marketing, so if you'll excuse me, a quick little 2-minute sales and marketing pitch before I go through the actual presentation. I normally speak at this event about the winter outlook. One of the main focuses from a storage perspective, well, from a CSL perspective, has been making sure that our storage product can get to market. So what we're proposing to introduce in the next few days is a new product, or actually three new products, onto the range of storage options you'd have available to you as a gas shipper. One of the main things to take away from this as well is that anybody can buy this capacity, even large industrial users, even small industrial users. There's no minimum size. The big distinction we're going to have is that the storage operation from Rough will now include transportation rights as well, which is basically moving your apples from the MVP into store and bringing those apples back to the MVP. Taking out a lot of the different noise that you have to go through, shall we say, in terms of getting your product. So hopefully it'll be a far easier product to operate, to use, and to achieve that process, what we need to do is go through a formal consultation to our regulated contract. That will be launched very shortly in the early days of May. And the basic change you can see from that schematic there. Previously, any gas coming out of Rough storage was delivered towards Easington and left at Easington. Therefore, storage users had to purchase Easington entry capacity. From storage year 2009-10, you can choose whether to buy the existing product called S-Store, or you can buy the new product called C-Store, which delivers gas direct to the MVP. Like I say, this consultation is open to all market participants. If you want to see and respond to that consultation, then all the details will be available on our website, and we'll give you some details on that a little later. So now the sales pitch is over, let's get down to what we're here to talk about, which is storage and the summer outlook. Rough is 74% of the storage space available to the GB market, but it's by no means the only storage facility. And we're seeing the market respond to the signals that's out there for people to go out and build new storage. So we'll look at the different role of storages and the different security that they provide to the market in winter, but also in summer. What goes out of storage needs to come back in, so I think it's prudent to have a quick look at last winter. So we'll have a quick review of winter 2007. And then I'll steal a little thunder from National Grid, but not in too much detail, and from some of the things you've heard from Ofgem as well. We'll look at those factors that impact on storage. Storage is all about getting your molecules, getting your therms into store ready for winter. How does the summer demand, the different factors that drive summer demand, impact on that? And what are the different factors impacting on summer supply that will also impact on that as well? And we'll conclude with a storage wrap-up, predominantly about the outlook as we see it from Rough storage perspective and when we're going to be full, and various things that have been going on there, which hopefully will be news to some of you and will be good news. So this is a load duration curve from the different storage facilities. What you've got along the bottom is how many days duration they've got. So basically, the bottom one is Rough. Significant portion of the storage capacity, and when it's full, it can withdraw for about 80 days. So you've got that there. It sits there, start of winter, and you can churn it around, and we'll come and look at that. So basically, when you deplete, you can put stuff back in. And then you've got various other storage facilities, predominantly medium range facilities, are the ones that's just sitting just above ref just there, and then some peak shaving facilities. So we'll go through those in some detail. Storage is all about your space, how quick you can inject into that space and how quick you can withdraw out of that space. So there's always this concept of different marginal firms. When am I going to be full by? For a seasonal storage facility, people naturally look towards September and October. So if the gas price today is below the forward October price, inject. So that's the efficient thing to do. If you can fill your facility in 10 days, slightly different mindset, which brings us on quite nicely to the first storage facility I'm going to look at, which is Whole House Farm. What I've done here is looked back a year, and all this information is available publicly on National Grid's website. So here you see the first of the storage facilities, what we'd like to call a churning storage facility. Quick in, quick out. Above the axis is gas being withdrawn. Below the axis is gas being injected. So you can see these multiple cycles, about 4 million cubic metres being delivered, 8 million cubic metres coming in. So what this enables the operator of this storage facility to do is to basically fill very quickly and to empty very quickly. So it's able to respond very quickly to supply-demand situation that's prevalent on the market. As we go through these storage facilities, you'll see the ability to respond during the summer period slightly decreases. This is Humbley Grove, the next storage facility. If you jump back, you can see high levels of churn, and then more grouping, more focused injection and withdrawal periods. And it looks like around 8 different cycles of gas going in, being stored for a number of days, and then gas coming out. So again, it provides versatility, flexibility, it adds to security of supply, but it's used slightly different from the previous facility, Whole House Farm. This is Hatfield Moor. I think, again, you're moving back in terms of how long it takes to fill. So you see this big Q3, the big block of injection on the shape like that, and then the gas coming back out in Q1, and the flexibility sources providing gas in and out on different locations. One of the things as well to take away from this presentation is gas being injected into storage is gas demand. So a National Grid publish how much gas has been consumed on the market, any gas going into store basically counts as if it's a chemical factory burning the molecules to produce their widgets. So it is a gas demand. This is Hornsey. We're moving into a more seasonal shape onto these storage facilities. So when they're empty or quite empty, you pretty much need to inject at a pretty high load factors on injection to make sure the facility is pretty full when you get there. So it's got a slower build than the other storage facilities. Again, it can provide flexibility during the summer periods. And with Hornsey, you get a high level of deliverability very, very quickly and very, very flexibly. But still, this long, slow build, which you'll see with any storage facility. And the slowest of the lot is the facilities that sit there, are the four peak shaving facilities operated by NGLNG. So what you've got here is very slow build because of the actual process for storing the gas in the LNG, but incredibly high rates of deliverability should the gas be needed onto the network. We'll have a look a bit later on about the state of emptiness and fullness of each of those facilities in aggregate in some cases, because you don't know exactly how much gas is in some of those storage facilities, but the news is all good. Everything can get full in good time before the start of the next storage year. So this is the last of the storage facilities. This is Rough, obviously where the majority of my focus is. And I think the biggest thing to take away is what's been going on quite recently. Rough currently is injecting gas at around 27 million cubic metres rate per day. So that's 27 million cubic metres of demand onto the gas network. In readiness, should we say, for the Grangemouth response, and I'd agree with Andrew, the industry response to the notice that was received meant that the situation was managed as well as it could have been, that Rough storage was capable of providing around 60 million cubic metres of swing. So that's 27 metres of gas that we were going to take off, which we wouldn't have taken off, and then around 40 metres of gas that could have been delivered back onto the network. So that embedded storage flexibility that ensures you do get this security of supply, which is why a number of people are looking around to try and build storage actually within the GB network. Some of the other takeaways from this slide then, max deliverability rates of around 45 million cubic metres, potentially some upside on that. terms of a summer outlook, which is why we're here, last summer, because Rough was so full going into the summer, we actually produced gas on 27 days, which is a record for Rough as a seasonal storage facility. Andrew mentioned the reason for that. Mild winter from the winter before, high levels of stock carryover, this concept of the marginal injection period kind of fell away. So basically people were saying, well, I know I can get full by August, by July, so I'll bring some molecules out now, deliver that into the network, and I can restock that in good time so that I'm full going into the winter period. Again, I've spoken about this on a number of occasions at Winter Outlook. We did have a number of days of constrained interruptible capacity, but two good pieces of news. I think National Grid managed the situation very well in terms of the release of interruptible capacity. The trade and transfer mechanisms did work. It moved capacity from areas or from terminals that didn't value that capacity to other areas. So in terms of impacts, there was storage flows were impacted on a number of days, but the magnitude of that impact was nowhere near as significant as some people had feared or the risk premium that people were associating with purchasing the storage capacity itself. So this moves us on to where we're going to look at what went on last winter. Again, Andrew mentioned this. You'll probably see a fair bit of repetition in some of these presentations. Winter demands are typically twice what they are in summer. It wasn't a typically cold winter, but hopefully Matt will have a few words to say about that in the next sessions on the types. Yep, he's nodding. Good. In terms of what's going to be on the kind of winter that was. But you see basically a beach delivery from the UK in line with forecast. You see Langley flows slightly below forecast, but we're not going to touch on that during this presentation. BBL flows from Holland certainly above forecast. Interconnector flows, which I will touch on, probably being slightly below where most people would have expected the gas that went out during the summer to come back during the winter. We'll touch on a few reasons potentially for that happening. And then beyond that, you start seeing gas either coming from LNG or from the storage that's embedded actually here in the network. And again, Andrew mentioned this, significant flows came out of long-range storage, and a fair amount of gas came out of medium-range storage, but also went back in. So we're always in a very comfortable position. Rough bottomed out about 20% fullness, apart from the last 2 years, which again was mentioned by the previous speaker, not too abnormal. And we'll have a look at a slide a bit later on, showing the typical trend of long-range storage depletion and then fullness. So peak day there, 430 million cubic meters. So why are we doing this summer outlook and why should we be worried? Because when we look back for the previous 5 years, we see on average quarter two demand levels coming in at around 250 million cubic meters. The system copes easily with demands above 430 and had sufficient embedded capacity available from Isle of Grain LNG facility, significant upside turn up from interconnector, and storage capacity that wasn't used. So we can cope with 430. So why are we concerned? Or why would we be looking at demand levels of 250 on Q2 and Q3 prices, Q3 levels around 200? Well, I think the reason the room's quite populated is probably the forward price and the current price of gas. So looking at all those factors, why is gas price 60-odd p? I'm not here to answer any of those questions on price. I think the people that know all those things are probably retired already. So it's just to give you some of the clues as to why the price is where it is. So what factors impact on summer demand? I think National Grid, again, will cover a lot of this. The first one, Matt will certainly cover in the presentations after the break. Weather-sensitive load, how warm will it be? How cold will it be? What will the shape of that demand look like? Will it be cold snaps? Will it be warm snaps? Will it be nice and sunny and we can all stay in the UK and not have to worry about the euro-pound exchange rate? Those kind of questions. Are UK exports to the continent? Again, gas leaving the country through the interconnector with gas demand onto the network that factor through into the spot and forward prices. So what demand is there? Obviously I'm a storage operator, so we'll have a look at how full some of the European storage facilities are. So again, constantly you're hearing from Ofgem and regulators to call for greater transparency. You are, as traders and users of this gas network, increasingly getting better information from which to make informed decisions, of which this summer outlook is obviously a good example of that. Power load from CCGTs and the impact of higher carbon emissions and the LCPDs. I've got no power background myself. We don't actually get involved with it at Centrica Storage, but I'm sure some in the room can discuss during the Q&As about the impact on that, and I think National Grid, again, will come on to some of those reasons. Storage injections, as I mentioned before, gas demand. How full is storage? How much of a burden are we going to place on the network on a day-to-day basis to ensure that the tanks are full going into next winter? And then the Irish interconnection points and the INC load, which pretty much tend to stay pretty stable, so I won't focus on those in too much detail. I'll also not focus on the weather-sensitive load too much, because that's going to be a feature of the presentations after the break. Interconnector flows. So above the line, above the axis, is gas demand. Below the line is gas supply. So we can see there in 2003, pretty constant higher levels, around 55 million cubic meters of gas demand leaving GB and going into the continent. Don't know what gas that is displacing. I don't know, you can tag these firms. Obviously, some people might have some ideas about this. Or where does gas through the interconnector go? Is it tagged to certain storage facilities? I don't know myself, but it's a question that can be posed. And what you see in there is decreasing levels of gas actually exiting the country, and I liked that concept of residual gas demand, i.e. if storage is on maximum injection and beach gas and other flows want to keep arriving into the country, where does that excess gas go? Because National Grid have to ensure they balance the system on a day-to-day basis. Does it go through the interconnector? Will they take the gas? And at what price will they take the gas? Quite possibly. So what you see towards the end of this chart is significant volumes, around 42 terawatt hours, I think it is. And again, all this information is available on the interconnector website. Going out of the country, not so much coming back in. Various reasons for that. We've talked about in winter outlooks before the Q4, Q1 conundrum, where gas is being kept in European storage because in Q4 they don't know how cold their winters are going to be, and there was a tendency for more gas to arrive in Q1. That didn't really happen this year. Could mean that the capacity that was embedded within the GB market was dealing with that. Were the price signals there? Various different questions that you can answer, and I'm sure some people again in the room will have some ideas on the various reasons behind that. European storage. The looks bigger when I wrote this on my PC, right? The little website at the bottom, you've all got copies of this anyway, gives you the information and the source data from that. This is a voluntary scheme by all European storage operators involved in an organisation called Gas Storage Europe. It's not 100% accurate, but it's a good interim arrangement until the third package actually gives some teeth to regulators and says, publish how much stock is in European storage on a daily basis. At the minute, this is a voluntary scheme, and this is the voluntary information. So again, the takeaways, 74% of GB storage is the most depleted of European storage in terms of percentage emptiness, should we say. Comparable countries that are very close to us, Germany, pretty full. They tend to keep significant volumes back just in case. Whereas GB, because we've not got quite as much, and you can see from the bottom chart, we tend to have to work it a lot harder. We cycle what we've got to a greater extent. So will the demand be there from German storage users to take gas from the interconnector, or will be able to fill it up on take-or-pay contracts from Russians, from Germans, so on and so forth? Again, the answers will unravel themselves as we track these inventories throughout the summer. France as well, very close, significant volumes of storage. Will gas be going through the interconnector, spare capacity from, or spare molecules from GB into French storage? Again, probably helping their security of supply. Rights or wrongs, social liberal market versus not so liberal market, various debates you can have around that as well, but hopefully the third package will address a significant number of those questions. Power load, I'll not touch too much on this. This is again information from National Grid's website. You can see all exit flows. I think it's the day after flow, or very close to real time anyway, so very useful information per offtake point. So you can sum all those like we did. Or I could have just waited to see National Grid's presentation, because I think they've got a very similar chart. But it kept one of our analysts quiet for a couple of hours. So you see the chart, and you see this range between, you see the Christmas period there, between 60 and 90 million cubic metres of gas being burnt by power stations to generate electricity. That's gas demand on the network, and that will be happening in summer. The range of that was discussed during the summer outlook, and I'll probably leave Alan to talk about what that range is going to be. But 40 to 90, who knows? Storage injections. I'm going to deal with every other storage facility and leave rough towards the end. Short-range storage, not too much came out of that. 40% during last winter. No concerns at all about LNG, the four LNG sites being completely full in readiness for winter rate. No concerns there at all. Even if they inject at 5 gigs per day rate, they're easily filled by the time they get to September. The four medium range storage facilities, you're not exactly sure how full each of those facilities are, because the information on those is all aggregated, partly to protect some of the storage users of those storage operators. But what we can say is about 5,000 gigs need to go in. 32 gigs per day going into all those facilities would easily get you full by September. They can inject significantly greater volumes than that. So if you think back to the first series of charts, Whole House Farm will probably be full 5, 6, 7 times. Again, Humber Grove will be full a number of times. So it's how those individual users use that, and we'll look at rough storage, the long-range storage facility, towards the end of the presentation. Again, the source of this information updated every single day, National Grid's website, and you can find that within the operational data section. So, summer supply. Again, the focus as a storage operator is, I give out the capacity to the storage users at RUF. Is there enough gas on the network for them to take those molecules or the spare molecules and put them into store in readiness for the winter? I think one of the things we can say, and we're jumping back a couple of winters here, I think we're awash with capacity. So there is a various number of options, but we do need to look at some of the factors which will impact on the supply options available to the GB market. So the first one, offshore maintenance schedules. These are the actual gas fields, the gas transmission pipelines. Not so much transparency on this information. You hear a lot about massive amounts of maintenance required during quarter three, which, if you remember, is on the relative demand levels, is the lowest point on the demand. It's 200 million cubic meters. So reasonable and prudent operators of offshore fields would say it's the best time to do it. The extent to which that is going to happen is unknown to most market participants. People who offer third-party access, though, have to publish, because they have to inform the people who are going to use their services that they're going to be going down for annual maintenance. So the two interconnectors are UK and BBL. Both on their websites, you can see where the planned annual maintenance is going to be. Storage sites, Rough and Hornsea, who offer third-party access, both of their maintenance schedules and our maintenance schedule is published on there. So in terms of, again, this information is all out there, so you can verify it yourself. Interconnector, I think 26th, 27th of August until the 10th of September. Rough storage will be 11th of September to the 25th of September. BBL, 16th of September to the 30th of September, give or take. But you can check on all their websites. Just Google BBL RUK Rough. And Hornsea will be not available to various degrees throughout the summer as well. National Grid also need to make sure that the network is capable of shifting the molecules around the network. So what they do is, and they'll do various work as well, which we wholeheartedly welcome, to increase the capacity and the capability for the networks during the peak times, which is winter. So they need to do some work in the summer periods with lower demands to make sure that molecules can move around. But they quantify the impacts of those, and that's contained within the summer outlook. So they'll indicate ahead of time what impacts that will have onto gas flows. And I think there's impacts on 4 terminals in different months. And it's all the information's in the summer outlook, but it shouldn't be material. National Grid, this is a minor point as well, also have a target line pack which they use each day to say what is balanced. So it gives an idea of how many molecules need to be coming out of the beach through interconnectors or out through interconnectors or into storage or out of storage. Sometimes difficult to read where that target is. It tends to be quite dynamic, but it is a function that you need to understand what target line pack or balance is going to be in terms of making sure that you are providing the right amount of gas on a physical basis. So we get for 180 days during summer supply-demand balance. Flows through Langlais, BBL, continental market arbitrage. What's the impact of that? Andrew mentioned that we've had this presentation this time last year, the summer price forward basis balanced off around 14p. And then we saw significant changes or adjustments in flows for summertime around about the 1st of May, which basically sent the summer price up to around 25p within a few days, and basically has been climbing ever since. Not all down to those flows, but it's this understanding that we are part of a connected network. People can choose where they're going to send their molecules. Does it go to Zeebrugge? Does it go to Germany? Does it go to TTF? We're part of a market. So we need to make sure that the price is at the right amount in the UK to attract those molecules through the interconnected sites, which have different options where they send their molecules. Storage withdrawals, delaying injection fill times for some storage facilities, mainly the longer-term seasonal storage facilities. For the first storage facilities I mentioned, won't be an issue at all. In, out, shake it all about, doesn't matter. It's going to go in, it's going to go out. There's some new infrastructure projects coming on stream as well during the summer. Should have been coming on just prior to last winter, but we'd welcome news on when Aldbrough storage facility is going to be becoming operational. Again, fill the thing, put the cushion gas in there, is going to take some demand off the system. So any confirmation on that will be welcomed. And when the LNG facilities will be available to receive cargoes, and actually one I've forgotten is the Isle of Grain expansion, which is occurring towards the end of the summer as well. We're getting more capacity, more supply options to attract the gas. So the market's responding. And that's just part of this last bit here. We are increasingly then becoming interconnected with Asian markets, with American markets. American markets in the summer will typically be taking a lot of LNG cargoes that may or may not come towards the UK. So again, in the winter outlook, there's Henry Hub prices versus UK prices. Who's going to get those cargoes? Again, you don't know, but the capacity should be there, I think, for the Milford Haven site towards some point in Q3, but again, confirmation of that would be great. So just finishing up with a storage wrap-up. It's difficult to see. You're probably best reading these on your actual handouts. We are...
About
30% full at the minute, so not unusual at all in the general run of the scheme of the things. There has been a significant amount of investment in the storage capability or the injection capability at Rough Storage over this last winter, which means we can inject significantly more volumes than we could have year on year. So Rough's capability to inject is faster and we can do it for longer than we've ever been able to do that before. We do need to iron out certain things in terms of basically how much gas we're taking off the network at Easington. So it's not just entry capacity issues that we've had in the past. We need to make sure that the exit arrangements are correct for us to take the higher volumes of gas. Like say, 27 million cubic meters is a significant of volumes. Today, for example, we're taking 21 million cubic meters off the network. That's half a day's of supply that's going in store in readiness for next winter. So we need to just make sure that arrangements are in place. And you may or may not be seeing an urgent modification coming from Centric Storage to enable us to change our exit agreement with National Grid, but conversations are ongoing on that, and you'll get more information very shortly, hopefully. So Rough is around 11,000, excuse me, I'll used to use gigawatt hours because that's what we use internally. So 30%, we need to get up to 32,300, but we're not a big metallic box. If we can inject more, we'll inject more. This is a reservoir, it's offshore. Different things happen, different dynamics. So if we can inject more into that, we will inject more into that. So we'll give out the capability. If it gets full or when it gets full will be dependent on the factors I've listed there. What will be the load factor for injection? If we give out 280 gigawatt hours of injection capability, so say 26, 25 million cubic meters, will the customers use all that? Will there be sufficient spare gas on the network for Rough customers to hand to Centrica Storage to inject into store? How many days of production will be required? Year on year, we did 27. I don't think you're going to see any similar levels of flexibility from Rough Storage for this next summer. Main reason for that is, again, if we say, what's the marginal injection period? The marginal injection period, if you produce too much, becomes October. Now, October is about 8p above the rest of the summer price. So it almost has to become that the summer price has to be, or the spot price on the day where you want Rough to withdraw, has to be above the forward October price. You can all understand that. And that's what storage users will be thinking about. Compressor performance, how well are we doing in terms of taking gas to the network, putting it in store, and the impact of this compressor improvement and making sure all the arrangements are in place such that we can inject at these higher volumes. To date, we've had no constrained ability from National Grid. They've allowed us to inject at whatever rates they allowed us to test. It's been a very good relationship. So everything's there. We just need to formalize that so we can release this extra capacity to our customers, because at the minute we're constrained to only inject at 21 million cubic meters rate. But we've done some work, we can inject higher than that, but we need to make sure that all these formal arrangements are in place. So that's a quick dash through summer outlook from a storage perspective. I mentioned security of supply. we at Centrica firmly believe in the values of storage in terms of making sure that a market has security of supply. We announced the first offshore storage facility for 25 years with the Baines project with GDF and First Oil. Various other projects in the pipeline, that's the one that's public. So people are out there, other companies are building stuff. Eon have got projects coming to fruition, the Alba storage facility. So there are a number of other storage projects in the pipeline, GDF, Stublack, which are close to coming online in the next few years. All this extra storage capability is going to make sure that there is more security of supply. And ultimately, if there is enough security supply, it probably means that some of our outlooks become redundant. But at the minute, I think it's appropriate that we have one. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I don't think we'll be quite that complacent. Things are looking good. I think as Matt's going to talk about, the one thing we can't foresee is unusual events.